Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Here in John chapter number 4, here in just a minute and read some verses to you. But over the next few weeks, and our theme this year, matter of fact, we've already ordered several big banners that will be going in our new sanctuary when it's done. And our theme this year that we're going to look at is due season. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 9 says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And I really believe that over the past year, 2 years, going into this year, God is beginning to allow us to reap some hard work over the past several years at our church. And I really believe in all of my heart that it's just started. But here's what I want to talk to you about over the next few weeks. I want us to look in to several different areas, and here's some of them. I want us to look into the area of prayer, of engaging and sowing, then also into the area of a harvest, because I believe that a harvest is on its way. I want to challenge us in prayer over the next few weeks, and I'll talk a lot about that tonight. Can I tell you something? The reason you are here today is because somebody prayed for you. If we want to be a growing church, we'll have to be a going church, but we'll also have to be a praying church. I want to challenge us in prayer. I want to challenge us our community over the next few weeks. And you know, before COVID, we really, I believe, done a real good job with that. We knocked on a lot of doors, and even in 2020 we done a good job with that. We done a mass mail out to our whole county, and I believe that. But you know, over last year we began to let down on that a little bit, and I'll say this, a lot of that's my fault. I got caught up in building the building, and that's what we needed to do. That's where God had led us to. But we cannot forget the part of engaging our community. Our community needs us, and guess what? We need our community, amen? There's a lot of people out there today that's not in church this morning, and we need them, and they need us. Somebody holler amen this morning. We need them, and they need us. I want to challenge us to become an external church and not just an internal church. I want the community to know that Amazing Grace Baptist Church is a church that's still in existence, and a church that loves sinners, no matter who they are, no matter the life that they may be living, no matter what race they may be, no matter the lifestyle they are in, we love them and we want to see God change their life. Can I get an amen this morning? I want to challenge us to become an external church. I want to challenge us to sow the seed of the gospel. You know, each and every day of our life, we have the opportunity of sowing seeds. We have the opportunity of giving the gospel to somebody. We can give it in a tract. We can give it in a testimony. Watch this. We can give it in a prayer. I love when different people from the community call me and say, "Hey, we're having this event. Can you come pray at it?" Absolutely, man, I can come pray at it. You know what? I've never had nobody say, "You've got 5 minutes for your prayer." Brother Jake, I've never had nobody put a time limit on my prayer. You know what? I've never had nobody say, "You can only say this in your prayer." You know what's going to happen? I'm going to rebel when I pray if they do. Somebody give me an amen right there. You know what you can do in that prayer? You can pray over whatever the dedication is that you might be praying over. You can pray over a meal with somebody that you've taken out to eat. But in that, you can say, "Lord, before we close this prayer, I would just like to thank you for Calvary, and thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. Thank you that you love me enough to allow me to be saved. And God, if there's anybody here underneath the sound of my voice that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, would you let the Holy Ghost hang their soul out over hell and convict them of their sins and save them in that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen." You know what you just done? You just sowed the gospel. You just planted the seed in somebody's life. I want to challenge us to do that. And finally, can I say this? If we do these things that I just said, we must be ready for the harvest. We must be ready for the harvest. You say, preacher, what's that? Here's what that is. People coming into the church. You know what Brother Bobby Robinson said many years ago that started Gospel Light Baptist Church? He said this, if you'll reach those that no one wants, God will give you those that everyone wants. You know what we're doing right now? We're preparing for the harvest. Amen. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, when you drove up this morning, you noticed over beside of us is another building in the progress of being put together. You mean what it is? We're preparing for a harvest. Why? Because it's going to be a year that we pray and ask God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that He's ever done here at our church. Why? Because it's going to be a year that we go into our community and we engage every area of our community. You may tell you the reason why? Because we're going to give out the gospel, and they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. This morning, I want you to look in John chapter number 4. This principle that I just gave to you can be seen all throughout the New Testament church. The principle of praying, the principle of going, the principle of sowing, and the principle of harvest coming back. It can be seen all throughout the local New Testament church. Look what the Bible said, John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And if you underline in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline this verse. And he must needs go through Samaria. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh the called Sychar, and we come to Sychar near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about Jesus right here reaching this lady of Samaria. Now you that knows your Bible knows that in chapter number 3, Jesus also has a conversation with an individual. And in chapter number 3, in chapter number 4, there's some very neat comparisons that can be done. Let me show them to you quickly. The person Christ encountered in chapter 3 was a man, but in chapter 4 it was a woman. The person in chapter 3 was named. The person in chapter 4 was not named. The person in chapter 3 had rank. The person in chapter 4 had a very lowly position. In chapter 3, it was a Jew. In chapter 4, this person was a Samaritan. The person in chapter 3 was upright morally, but the person in chapter 4 was a very immoral person. The encounter in chapter 3 took place at night. The encounter in chapter 4 took place at noon. The encounter in chapter 3 closes without a report of any conversions, but closing of chapter 4 and that encounter closes with multitude getting saved. You say, well, preacher, why did you show those different encounters? Here's the reason why. When you look at chapter 3 and you look at chapter 4, you see somebody from all walks of life, from a mortal person to an immortal person, from a man to a female. And can I just say this? That's still the only ones that he is. I'll just hit that in passing, bro. From male to female, from Jew to Samaritan, Jesus is encountered what we would know as everybody. Matter of fact, he said this in chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, Jesus is just not interested in the man over at the country club, and Jesus is just not interested in the good moral individual. Jesus is interested in the whole wide world today. Jesus is interested in the man at the country club, but Jesus is interested in the dope head that doesn't have a place to lay his head tonight. Jesus is interested in everybody. And if Jesus is interested in everybody, and we take upon ourselves the same mind that Jesus had, guess what? You're going to be interested in everybody, and I'm going to be interested in everybody, and our church as a whole is going to be interested in everybody. Have you ever said you wasn't going to do something, but then you saw a demonstration of it and you done it? Can I give it to you this way? Have you ever said, there's no way that I'd give over $1,000 for a vacuum cleaner? But then a phone call comes and this guy says, man, I've got the greatest vacuum cleaner you've ever saw. Can I bring it to your house? I won't take but 45 minutes of your time. And I'll give you an air freshener. Now, some of y'all might as well nod your heads up and down, because I saw your post on Facebook with that air freshener, and you tried to get me to get one. It ain't happening, Jack. Thank God for a mama-in-law that gave my wife a rainbow. Somebody say amen right there. And that guy comes in with that vacuum cleaner, Brother Will, and he shows how powerful that vacuum cleaner. And before you know it, hey, it's just 36 payments of $129, no interest. What sold you on it? You saw the demonstration. You saw it demonstrated. Are you with me? I'll never forget, man. I remember years ago when Glock really began to become something, Brother Jonathan, and everybody was talking about this and that, and I thought, man, I ain't, back then we thought it was a bunch of money, I ain't paying that kind of money. And I went online and started watching demonstrations of the way that they could drop them out of this, and man, they would still work. And before you know it, Brother Jake, well, my wife has some Glocks. Why? Because you saw the demonstration of it. Jesus in John chapter number 4 is fixing to give us a demonstration of reaching the world. He's fixing to give us a demonstration of, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter the walk of life that you come from. That he is still interested in your life. And you know, when I read chapter number 4 of the book of John, you know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to go knock on a door. It makes me want to go sit by a well. It makes me want to go tell somebody about what Jesus can do in their life. What's the way he demonstrates reaching somebody in chapter number 4? Number one, the first thing we see Jesus doing is embracing the unwanted. Jesus embraced the unwanted. What did the Bible say in verse number 3? The Bible said this. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse number 3, we read that Jesus left Judea and headed north to Galilee. Directly between Judea and Galilee is the land called Samaria. The Bible in history teaches us that any self-respecting Jew would take another eastern route, cross over Jordan, and never set foot on the soil of Samaria. this would have been going out of their way to keep from going through Samaria. Here's the reason why the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. The Jews would literally travel out of their way just to keep from even passing through Samaria. Are you with me? What is Jesus? He's a Jew. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, whenever you begin to look at it, Samaria is put right there with the uttermost parts of the world. But the Bible said this in verse number 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Even though the Jews may have wanted to detour around Samaria, you know what Jesus said? No, I don't have time to detour somebody, but I do have time to go exactly where they're at and embrace the unwanted. Here's what we have come to so many times in our society today. Now you can holler amen or old me, but we profile people and say, well, I don't know if they would fit in at our church. Now somebody help the preacher this. When a visitor walks into the church, Brother Jeff, the first thing we do is size them up. When the first thing we should be doing is, hey, I'm Mr. Barker, man, good to have you today. Well, they don't look like me. Well, who said they had to look like you? Matter of fact, if it looked like some of y'all, I'm glad they didn't. They didn't smell like me. Who said they had to smell like me? God help us to never get to the place. Somebody help the preacher this morning that we think our church is on this level and there's just an elect few that is welcome inside of our church. No, you know what Jesus did whenever he left Judea and he starts to Samaria and he starts to where he's going. Jesus didn't detour around those people. Here's what he did. He embraced the unlikely. Watch this, number two. The first thing we see Jesus doing is embracing the unwanted. But then, number two, the next thing we see him doing is engaging the unlikely. Now, it's one thing for us to say this. They're welcome to come. We're going to knock on doors and give them a try. And if they want to come to the house of God, then they're welcome to come. It's quite another thing when they get here. Are you hearing me? To engage them. We can sit here and preach about it and embrace it all day long. But it's quite another thing to engage it. To engage them. You said, preacher, what do you mean? To have a conversation with them. Well, what if they do this or what if they do that? What if they die and go to hell because we as a bunch of snooty Christians and didn't give them the gospel? Everybody all right this morning? Jesus engages this woman. Jesus walks up at the well and sits down, and here comes this woman of Samaria and walks up, and Jesus engages her and begins to have a conversation with her. She's even amazed that he would even talk to her. Whenever you read chapter number 4, she says, what are you doing? Now, I'm not quoting it verbatimly, but she says, what are you doing even talking to me? Why are you even having anything to do with me? Let me tell you the reason why. Because he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And you know what? It was in the noon part of the day. And whenever you studied out, those ladies went to get water early in the morning before it got hot. But this lady lived a completely different life than the other ladies in town. Matter of fact, it's been married 5 times, and the man that she's with right then is not her husband. In other words, all the other women in town probably didn't think much about her and wanted nothing to do with her and could care less about her. So she decided to go at a different time when she thought nobody else would be there. Oh, but when she got there, there was somebody there. And there was somebody that loved her and cared about her and went out of his way to come to where she was at just to engage her and to talk to her. This week at this meeting, and I'll say more about it tonight, man, God really spoke to my heart about something. There was people from all walks of life there. Matter of fact, this week I've done something that I don't normally do. I came in at the time church started, and as soon as church was over, I went back out the side door. I didn't stand around and politic with all the preachers. I'm done with that. I'm over that. I don't have time for that anymore. I came in. I sat down, Brother Josh. I went to church and got help from the Lord, and my family left and went home. But Brother Tim, one evening, I went over on another side of the church, and there was a group there. That individual had stood up and testified that night. I went over and sat down and began to talk to those people. And over the past year or so, God has used that preacher in Kentucky where he was from to change those people's life, man. God saved them out of a life of addiction and out of a rough life. But I went over there and I began to sit down with them and talk to them and fellowship with them. Brother Daniel DeLong from Baptist Church was there, and anybody that knows Brother Daniel Delaney, man, it is unreal what God is doing in his church right now. And he has targeted a group of young people that nobody wants. I'm telling you, nobody wants them. Their parents don't hardly have anything to do with them. And Brother Daniel, they run those buses and they go into the projects up there around Lexington and Denton, and they gather those kids. They bring them in and feed them and clothe them and dress them for church and take them to church. Boy, I got around those youngins and just loved on those youngins. Let me tell you the reason why Jesus just didn't die for the popular man or the quote-unquote good man. Jesus died for the world. And Jesus demonstrates to us right here, it's not just an elect few he's interested in, but he's interested in all walks of life. He engaged the unlikely. He struck up a conversation with her. Well, don't expect me to talk to him. Well, I'm going to say something. If you get mad, you just get mad. Well, maybe you need to find another. Because we a church that's interested in all walks of life. Well, I got a beef with that person that comes to church. Well, get right with God. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Boy, we're starting a new year off right here, Brother Zach. Get right with God. If you got a beef with them and they come to church, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get them by the hand at the end of the service when the altar call starts, and you ought to lead them to the altar and say, hey, look, I'm a saved person and I'm a Christian. And I've held a grudge against you, and that's not the right thing to do, and the Word of God tells me not to do that. Will you forgive me and pray with them? And whether they ever forgive you or they don't, you've made it right with God and serve the Lord. Man, he engaged the unlikely. He engaged them. Well, you know, if we bring that crowd in, hey, you know what? You used to be part of that. If we bring that crowd in, he engaged the unlikely. What did Jesus do? He embraced the unwanted. He engaged the unlikely. Matter of fact, you know what? If you'll study, I've been studying the preaching of Christ. Here's one thing, Brother Jake, that I found out about the preaching of Christ. Brother Jeff, he was very basic. Jesus was not a deep, profound preacher. Jesus gave basic illustrations. Matter of fact, I don't even know that you can find a message that's recorded that's even alliterated by Jesus. And some don't understand what I'm saying. That's where all your points start, with the same letter. He was a basic preacher. And you know what he done when he got to town? He found the roughest part of town, and that's where he went to and started his ministry. That's where he went to. And you know what? That crowd that followed him was a rough crowd. You say, well, Peter cut one of them's ear off. He's a rough crowd, son. He cursed and denied that he even knew who God was. I'm not saying go cut somebody's ear off and cuss and deny God. What I'm saying is that's who Jesus went after. That's who he went after, Brother Jeff. As the boy stood up, I'm talking about engaging the unwanted. This boy stood up on Friday night. Some of y'all was in the meeting, but on Friday night he stood up and he started testifying. And he said, on Sunday mornings, when I got up to go to church, the church van would pull up, toot the horn. He said, I'd step over the marijuana plants in my room that Daddy was growing in my room. I'd step over all of it. He said, I'd try to wash myself off because I didn't want nobody at the church smelling marijuana on me when I went to church. He said, I'd try to clean myself so nobody would know that was the life that I lived in. And he said, I'd get in a van and I'd go to church. And he said, the people down there would just love me for who I was and would show love to me and compassion to me, something that I didn't know. And he said, I'd come back home to a different lifestyle. Then I'd go back to church. And he said, one Sunday morning in a little block building, God showed me I was lost, and I got saved. That boy's name was Dakota Queen. That's a preacher out of our church now. That's traveling all over the country giving the gospel. Let me tell you what used to happen on Sunday mornings. Old Brother Randy and Miss Dawn would get in a church van faithfully and would drive to Crack Rock and we'll pick up a little old boy down there. Matter of fact, if you go back there in that gray van right now, you'll see the back of one of the seats Brother Jake has cut out where he took his, I still want to whoop him over that, but he took his pocket knife and he cut it out. And you know what happened? He come to a church that had decided that they would embrace the unwanted and they would engage the unlikely. You know what we done? We just loved on him and they give him something to eat on the van. And you know what's ended up happening? God changed his life. God saved him. God called him to preach. God gave him a godly wife. God put him in the ministry. And now he's traveling all over the country preaching good news that Jesus still says, hey, amen. You say, preacher, what are we going to do this year? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going after them this year. Amen. And bringing them in. What did Jesus do here? Here's what he did. He demonstrates to us. Here's what he does. He embraced, he engaged, and then he done this. This is where it's going to get quiet. He not only embraced the unwanted, he engaged the unlikely, but he exposed the unsuspected. He exposed the unsuspected. Look with me. Let me just read this to you real quick. Look with me in verse number. You still got your Bibles open. Look with me in verse number 16, I think it is. Here's what he said in verse number 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. I wonder what she thought right then. Have you ever thought about that? I wonder what she thought. Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He looks back at her and said, yep, you're right. You've had five of them. I just said, like the old timer said it. Up now with something, ain't you, husband? Could you imagine Jacob, the color leaving her face? I'd have loved to have been a fly sitting on a camel over there on the side. I didn't say smoking a camel. I said sitting on a camel over there on the side watching this. The color leaves her face. Well, who is this? Son, it was the man that was fixing to change her life. And the only way her life ever got changed was she had to be exposed of the sin that she was in. You'll never get truly right with God until your sin is exposed before Calvary. Watch this. It's Jesus. I'm going to give you something right here. I'm done. Will you come start playing? That gives people hope. It's Jesus and her sitting at the well. His disciples are not there at this point. It's just her and Jesus. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. You don't have to come expose your sin to me. You expose your sin to him. Are you with me right there? I'm not the Pope. Don't come. Don't, and I can't say that. I know it's awful, but without thinking about Nacho, when he went to the whatever that thing is that they call, and he confessed his sin and his robe caught on fire. If y'all not watched Nacho Libre, y'all got to watch Nacho. Have you watched Nacho Libre? Stephen? You got to watch Nacho Libre. I'm not the Pope. You don't have to confess your sins. It's just Jesus and her. You see, at this point, have you ever been talking to somebody, and Brother Brian, it's just like everything else in the world leaves for a few minutes. And it's just you and the individual in that conversation. Suddenly it's like the whole world had left. And it's just Jesus and her. He says, hey, look, I know everything about you. I know the life that you lived. Then he goes on to say this. If you knew the water that I could give you, you would ask me to drink instead of me asking you to drink. She went to that day to get a pot full of water and she left with a well. And tell you the reason why. He exposed the unexpected in her life. You'll never get truly right with God until you and Jesus get things right. A lot of times we think about sin, it's just 5 minutes till 12. We think about sin, and Brother Scotty, we think about, well, I'm not a drunkard, and I'm not smoking Judy, and I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. But son, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that he abomination, see that soweth discord among the brethren. He that soweth discord among the brethren. He said that's an abomination. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. We can try to label this or no, sin's sin. And he exposes that to her. You know what she does? She makes it right. After she makes it right, she goes running in. I want you to come back tonight. She goes running into the city. Says, hey, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. One of the greatest revivals of the New Testament breaks out in John chapter number 4 because there was a woman that nobody wanted nothing to do with. Jesus went to her and said, hey, I'd change your life if you'll let me. Today, I told my wife this. And I don't know if I'm getting older or what. I don't know if I'm just not having as much patience as I used to. Here's what I told her. I said, I'm tired of babying sin. No, it's wrong. You know, sometimes people will talk to you and you'll find yourself, well, you know, if I was in that situation or that. No, sin, sin. And it's wrong. And when you mess up, the thing to do is get covered up, not to baby it, not to, well, it, you know, it's just, it may have been a mistake, but it's sin. They said, no, you're wrong. And when he exposed it to her, she had two things she could do. She could get mad or she could get glad. And what she done, she decided to get glad. She confessed it for God, got it right, went and told everybody in the city, and the men come running back and said, truth, this is Jesus. This is him. And son, revival breaks out. Why? Because Jesus was interested in somebody that nobody wanted. See, God demonstrated how to reach a community in that. But then God, through this chapter we're going to see tonight, delegates how to win the community. You see, in reaching the community, it's an essential task. It's an exciting task. It's exciting, son, when you see God change somebody's life. And I say this to you, it's an everybody task. It's everybody that does it, not just a few. Let's stand with us.